Welcome to the Lying Media Bastard Show. I'm Jake.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living room. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Bush and Hussein together in bed, giving H-E-A-D head. Y'all motherfuckers heard what we said, billions made and millions dead. Dead,
there we
dead,
go. Come on,
dead,
come on.
Dead.
George W. Bush was drinking beer. His daddy was head of the CIA. Now listen up close to what I say. The CIA worked for Standard Oil and other companies to whom they're loyal. In a whole nother land by the name of Iran, the people got wise and took the stand. Told the oil companies, hey, ain't shit funny. This is our oil, our land, our money. CIA got medicine, false info to Iraq to help start the Iran-Iraq war. Pronounce war if I have to be proper. The CIA is the cops, that's why I hate the coppers. Saddam Hussein was their man out there. They told him to rule by keeping people still, saying any opposition to him, he must crush it. He gassed the Kurds, they gave him the budget. Said you gotta kick ass to protect our cash. Step out of line and feel our wrath. You know the time without looking at the little hand. Time came for them to cut out the middleman. Children, man, with no legs and shit, cause a bomb's over. You know the outcast hit, and they really want you to hate him dead. When just the other day, they made him head. War ain't about one land against the next. It's poor people dying so the rich cash checks.
Bush and Hussein together in bed, giving H-E-A-D head. Y'all motherfuckers heard what we said, billions made and millions dead. Bush and Hussein together in bed, giving H-E-A-D head. Y'all motherfuckers heard what we said, billions made and millions dead.
Shut it up.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Radioactive San Diego, the Lying Media Bastard Show. Sorry, we got off to a late start today. Our internet connection kind of crapped out or something just after I started, and me being not Captain Technology, it took me a while to figure out what the hell to do. But thanks to poor, sick DJ Lotus in the house who advised me on the situation. That is their Queens of the Stone Age, doing No One Knows from their album Songs of the Deaf. They have since come out with other albums, but none are as good as that one. For that, Smashing Pumpkins doing Cherub Rock. And we started off with The Coup, Head of State from the new Coup album. That album I happened to get for free via download, but I'm going to buy it because I like The Coup, I support The Coup, the band. I'm not actually saying let's overthrow the government to any of you Secret Service folks listening. I'm referring to a rap group called The Coup. Yeah, it's funny how the music industry works that way. It used to be, if there was a band who put out an album and you wanted to hear that some songs of that album, you could only hear the singles, which happened to get played on the radio or later on MTV. Later, as years passed, they started having listening stations. Well, I take that back one. My dad told me that back when he was a kid, teenager, you could go to the record store and they had listening rooms. We could actually take a vinyl record, put it on the, go into this little room, enclosed room in the back, put on the record onto the turntable, play it, listen to it as you like. Now, that went away. I don't know at what point they stopped having listening rooms, but I don't remember them actually allowing you to hear CDs at the record stores until probably the early 90s. My dad was a teenager, let's say, in the 60s. Let's say there's a 20-year gap in there where they said, no listening. Buy it or don't. And but then the MP3 came along, the file sharing the download, and my understanding is that there has been a decrease in the sales of big blockbusters like Britney Spears or, I don't know who else is big these days, Korn. They're not big anymore. No, I take that back. Who's big now? Fuck if I know. You know, big, you know, popular musicians, you know. They sell less. But bands that, you know, they say that instead of selling 14 million copies of an album, Britney Spears will sell 11 million copies, or 9 million. Which I suppose is a big blow to her, relatively speaking. But there's this huge jump in the number of bands who normally, in the old regime, would have sold about 20,000 copies of an album. Those bands are now selling 100,000 and 200,000 copies of an album. And what that is, that's really what a lot of the file sharing is you can, if there's a Britney Spears album that comes out, and let's say, God forbid, you like Britney Spears, maybe you just like the singles. So you go and you download the singles and you have them and you don't go buy her album. Or, what I think is much more likely, is that you download some of the Britney Spears tracks and you go, wow, this album's terrible. Because before, your only option, if you wanted to hear it, was to buy it. And ha, the album sold, and you've got a crappy album. But, no, I really think that that's part of the hit that these bands took, that the big bands took, is that, you know, people are seeing through the marketing campaigns. It used to be there was this big, you know, onslaught of, oh, you want the Britney Spears album, you want the Britney Spears album, you want the Britney Spears album. And you say, fuck, I better go get that Britney Spears album. But, now you get a chance to hear it first. You say, dear God, I don't want to buy it. Now, on the other hand, since before you could only buy stuff without listening, here's some band at the record store, some CD, some band you've never heard of. You don't know if they're good, the bad, nothing. But you see them, and you download their track, and you say, wow, I never would have bought this album because I didn't know what they sound like. I've heard what they sound like. I like this. I'm going to go buy their album. That's what I think it is, because album sales have not really taken a hit. CD singles have taken a big hit with in the days of file sharing. That's just the way it is. Fuck you, record companies. But otherwise, it's more of a balancing. It's fewer super mega blockbusters like Britney Spears or, back in the day, groups like Backstreet Boys or what have you. And a lot of those sales have shifted towards a much larger number of smaller name bands. Now, because of the fact that you can download these tracks for free so easily, and let's face it, you can. You know, the RIAA can tell you all they want, and they can put all sorts of intimidation tactics and try to, you know, put virused files on the web and whatnot. People can still get them, very obviously. But the way I tend to view it is I get these songs, and if there's a band that I like, I want to support that band. So like I'm saying, as I started off this whole rant, I got the Coup album on MP3, but I like the Coup, want to support the Coup, gonna go buy the album. Actually, tried to buy it yesterday, the record store didn't have it, so I'm gonna work at it, work to support the Coup. And if you don't want to buy the album, if you have gone ahead and gotten the download, but you want to support them, but you don't want to buy the CD, you know, maybe go to their website, buy a t-shirt, buy a poster, go see them when they come to town, tell your friends about them. And that's not me saying, you know, I want them to be a big band, I want them to get rich. You know, I've met Boots Riley from the Coup. He's not rich. But I do want him to keep making music, so he needs to sell enough records to keep going. So I want to support him because of that. That's my dream, actually, is that in some way we could replace the current music industry system where you're a famous musician who makes millions of dollars for your records and travel the world. I'd like to replace that with a larger number of people who make enough money to just be a musician for a living. I think probably all of us know somebody who's in a band in their spare time. You know, they work at the coffee house, they've got a job as a computer programmer, they're a veterinarian, but in their spare time, they're in a band, they produce music, something like that. Maybe they play some clubs, and that's cool. But if there was, you know, and we could imagine a situation where, you know, the Britney Spearses and the Franz Ferdinands and all that, that they do have to work a day job. But they go ahead, and when they can, they record music and they perform music live. But I think there's a lot of bands out there that you and I would, we don't want that to happen. Because if they hadn't have a day job, they'd probably never go on tour. It would take them a long time to go from album to album. So that's what I imagine in my head. I imagine a day where good musicians get support from the public, enough support from the public, that they don't need a day job. They're not rich, but, you know, they're making, I don't know, 30, 40 grand a year. That's fine with me, you know? And I've tried to figure this out, and the best thing I could come up with so far is for musicians to form sort of partnerships or collectives, where perhaps you join, you know, let's say you're a musician, you join up with, you know, another 30, I don't know how financially you have to do this, let's say 30 bands, 100 bands, something like that, and people subscribe to your little music partnership. When they do that, they get all your music for free, but they have to pay a fee. There's a fee to pay to get access to all the music partnership, and it's everybody that's part of your partnership, and you get the music free. You probably have to go pay them to see the shows. I got a phone call. Hold on. I'll see if they want to talk to me on the air. I'm proud of myself that I remembered to turn the microphone down there, because otherwise you would have heard me having this pointless conversation with DJ Al. As I mentioned earlier, the internet was not working, and Al called to give me advice on how to fix it, but I've already fixed it because I'm a magic man. Anyhow, oh yeah, so I was talking about this idea I had for musician partnerships, where the fans of the bands basically give enough money to the partnership that everybody in the band can make a living. It's a little bit of an iffy idea, and obviously if you like different bands who aren't in the same partnership, then you're having to pay money to multiple organizations and blah, blah, blah. But still, that's what I'm saying. I think it'd be good. Have musicians who can make a living and who are not multimillionaires. Because really, I don't know that there's anyone who's so good at what they do that they deserve $5 million a year. Is anyone really good enough at playing guitar that they deserve $5 million a year? You know, is anybody like, you know, if you're a doctor and you, like, can do brain transplants, if you can, you know, heal cancer and, you know, raise the dead from the grave, okay, maybe you get your $5 million a year, but for regular, you know, non-voodoo things, no, nobody deserves that. Everybody deserves, you know, a nice living wage. And that would be a good thing. So in conclusion, go buy the album from The Coup. Thank you. That was very weird. Now, I think today I have to have a high ratio of talking to music because the show was getting cut short. I just found this article here. The CIA has imposed new and tighter restrictions on the books, articles, and opinion pieces published by former employees who are still contractors with the intelligence agency. According to several former CIA officials affected by the new policy, the rules are intended to suppress criticism of the Bush administration and of the CIA. The officials say the restrictions amount to an unprecedented political appropriateness test at odds with earlier CIA policies on outside publishing. So apparently, it used to be that if you quit the CIA, but you were still getting payments from them on occasion for being a consultant, then you could say whatever you wanted. I mean, if you were going to write a book or something like that, they had to approve it for, you know, does this violate national security? But and that sort of thing. But otherwise, you could say whatever the hell you want. Now, apparently, you can't say bad things about the Bush administration if they're still paying you. So, the move is a significant departure from the CIA's longtime practice of allowing ex-employees to take critical or contrary positions in public, particularly when they are contractors paid to advise the CIA on important topics and to publish their assessments. DJ Luna is again in the house. DJ Luna is a cat who is crawling around on the microphone. Seriously, this is the most selfish cat I have ever seen. She came in earlier when I was trying to fix the internet connection and was just in my face, just demanding to be petted. I'll pet you, greedy cat. So that is just bullshit. CIA telling you what you can say once you've quit the CIA. And it's... cat. Okay, I'm going to hold the mic up here. People can say what they want. People can criticize what they want. All of us. Everyone. You're the CIA. You're in the government. You're not in the government. You're in a corporation. You're, you know, a guy living in a box. Everybody is subject to criticism. Everyone. It's what people do. People judge. I hear people say on occasion, I feel so bad I was judging that person. That's what people do. Humans judge other humans. And the CIA here is trying to tell its ex-employees, you can't say shit that we don't want you to say. And that is fucked up. And this cat, god damn it. Sorry. Okay, now we got another bit here talking about gas prices. First of all, here is a helpful resource, a website called GasBuddy.com. I'm sure there's 100 sites just like it. But you go to GasBuddy.com, because gas prices are so high right now, it is a site that lets you find what is allegedly the cheapest price of gas in your area. I found near me the cheapest price for gas was $3.08 a gallon. Filled up my tank earlier this week, $42. And I just drive a Honda. Okay, cat, you are fucking ridiculous. This is going to make for vital radio, let me tell you. Jake talking about politics and scolding a cat. So we got here, Senate Republicans are trying to pass a new bill that would give a $100 rebate check to every American, to every American taxpayer for the gas. As I mentioned, $42 to fill up my tank this week. So this $100 gas rebate would get me 2 tanks of gas. If I drove an SUV, what, that's like, that's what, a third of a tank of gas? Yeah, that's like 1 tank or something for an SUV, 1.5. So, and let's compare that to ExxonMobil Corporation. Reported that their profit, this article is not helpful. But ExxonMobil this past year made record profits where the first 3 months of the year, they made $8.4 billion. So they make $8.4 billion, and I get a $100 check. Fuck you, Exxon! Oh, God. I'm Jake, Long Meat of Bastards. You gotta talk about... Okay, this is just ridiculous. Last week, I mentioned this. If I was arrogant, I'd say, I predicted! No, I read an article about it. Tony Snow, the Fox News commentator... No, Fox News host. He was like a news anchor. Is now going to be the new White House press spokesman. Press secretary, whatever. Press secretary, yes, that's correct. I forgot what his first name was when I was telling this story last week. I couldn't remember if it was Tony Snow or Jon Snow. Jon Snow being the White House Treasury Secretary, who it sounds like the Bush administration wants to can. Because I couldn't remember Tony Snow's real first name, I referred to him as Foxy Snow, and then Foxy Snowy Fox, because that's funny. So, you know, big surprise. The propagandist on Fox News gets to be a propagandist in the White House. He does have some experience. He was he was the head speechwriter for George H.W. Bush in the White House. And he's been a columnist and editorialist and radio show host, so he has his share of experience. He's not just a dude who reads off a teleprompter. But he has an enormous head. Let me point this out to you. Look at a picture of him. His head, it's a tall head. It's not big like fat. It's big like if you stacked two heads on top of each other. When I saw President Bush announcing this on TV, it's like, dude, his head is twice as tall as the president's. Don't know how that happens. There's so many people on TV with enormous fucking heads. I remember I like telling this story. I saw Jonathan Lithgow, the actor, when I went to school at UCLA. He was at some coffee house there. And first of all, he's a very large man. He's like 6'4", 6'6", something like that. But even on top of being that tall, his head is huge for his size. He's like, it's like an 8-foot tall man's head on a 6-foot, 6 tall man's body. He's a freak. Okay, so here's the punchline of the Tony Snow story. Probably wants to say, you know, whatever. He's a jackass. He's going to be a conservative, whatever. But then I hear today, someone dug up an old quote of Tony Snow's. This is from October 2003 on Fox News Sunday, in the middle of Tony Snow telling you how defending Rush Limbaugh. Here's Tony Snow, 2003. Here's the unmentionable secret. Racism isn't that big a deal anymore. No sensible person supports it. Nobody of importance preaches it. It's rapidly becoming an ugly memory. The new press secretary for the White House thinks that racism doesn't exist. Which I disagree. Now, I just happened to read an article this week by Tim Wise, who I interviewed a number of months back. And he did an article about the race card and sort of white denial, white reluctance to accept the truth about racism in the United States. He mentions one poll where it says as few as 6% of white Americans actually believe that racism is a, quote, very serious problem. But and then he goes on to quote a number of ways in which it's very obvious where the numbers don't lie, where the statistics are showing that racism exists and is a serious problem. And he's sort of saying, he starts off talking about the race card and this sort of white belief that that African Americans are pointing out racism when it doesn't exist, that they're too touchy, that they're wrong, paranoid, whatever. And he says that there's this white belief that I guess black people are, you know, they see racism when it doesn't exist. Then he gives a bunch of examples of racism existing that white people don't see and says, you know, well, who's crazy here? Who's Nazi in reality? So let's just say, I'll quote these bits with his evidence. How many Americans do you figure have even heard, for example, that black youth arrested for drug possession for the first time are incarcerated at a rate that is 48 times greater than the rate for white youth, even when all other factors surrounding the crime are identical? How many have heard that persons with, quote, white-sounding names, according to a massive national study, are 50% more likely to be called back for a job interview than those with, quote, black-sounding names, even when all other credentials are the same? How many know that white men with a criminal record are slightly more likely to be called back for a job interview than black men without one, even when the men are equally qualified and present themselves to potential employers in an identical fashion? How many have heard that, according to the Justice Department, black and Latino males are 3 times more likely than white males to have their vehicles stopped and searched by police, even though white males are over 4 times more likely to have illegal contraband in our cars on the occasions when we are searched? How many are aware that black and Latino students are about half as likely as whites to be placed in advanced or honors classes in school, and twice as likely to be placed in remedial classes? Or that even when test scores and prior performance would justify higher placement, students of color are far less likely to be placed in honors classes? Or that students of color are 2 to 3 times more likely than whites to be suspended or expelled from school, even though rates of serious school rule infractions do not differ to any significant degree between racial groups? Fact is, few folks have heard any of these things before, suggesting how little impact scholarly research on the subject of racism has had on the general public, and how difficult it is to make whites in particular to give the subject a second thought. So, Tony Snow says racism is not a big problem. Perhaps we should jam these numbers down his throat. I'm Jake. I'm Media Bastard Show. Gonna play some comedy for you here. Track this file down. A comedian named Eugene Meerman. Now, apparently, I'll give you a little context. There is a... you might have seen some of these. There are books of the Bible you can buy at a bookstore that are aimed at teens. There are these books where they sort of tried to update the Bible and make it hip and cool and, you know, dig it. And one of them that he's talking about is called Revolve, which tries to make the Bible more palatable to teen girls. He has a bit of a funny... There's a few comedic observations to make about it, so I'll play that. Eugene Meerman about Revolve. Gonna play some more... gonna play some Gnarls Barkley, play some more of The Coup. Don't know who else I'll play. We'll see. I'm Jake. Thanks for listening. Show's gonna be short today. Blah, blah, blah.
So I wanted to show you guys, share something with you, which is, it appears to be a teen magazine, but actually, it is the complete New Testament. Those of you who are close up can see that, and those of you who are part owl also can see that. But it appears like there's pretty girls on the cover, and it says, are you dating a godly guy? And other questions. Beauty secrets you've never heard before. Oh, I promise you, you have never heard these secrets. You know how the King James version of the Bible like leaves out like beauty tips and guys speak out? This Bible puts it back in. And for those of you who doubt the accuracy of this Bible, let me read you a quote from it. You can trust that this Bible accurately presents God's word as it came to us in the original languages. Great. I'm sold. What did you want to tell me, God, that you forgot about? Well, I'll tell you. Here's just a little random fact. Did you know? 56% of young adults are searching for the meaning of life. Oh. And the other 44% are like, I wonder what tuna feels like on my penis. This is a top 10 random ways to have fun on a date. 1. Make homemade ice cream. And then make love in it. No, it's say get married then. 2. Go on a double date with your parents. That's not fun for parents. That's not fun for... That wouldn't be fun for bears. Who have none of the social rules we do. At all. Oh, here's another little fact. Did you know? African American teens are 40% more likely to have had sex than Caucasian teens. Thanks, racist Bible. I don't know if a fact can be racist, but it's weird to be like, 85% of teens think Jews are genetically sneaky. Here's a top 10 random things to pray for. Let's see what they are. 1, your family. It's legit. Your friends. That's number 2. Also legit. 3, world leaders. Like a little teen girl, like, please help Kofi Annan get what he wants out of life. He wants a bicycle? Maybe. I guess. I have no idea. Number 7, also pray for celebrities. The last people that need. Like some girl, like, please send Justin Timberlake to space, where the vacuum will make his skin beautiful. And then, of course, my favorite, top 10 random beauty secrets. Get ready to become ultra fuckable. I'm just going to share them. You don't even have to get this. 1, be joyful. Always. Because if there's one thing that's beautiful, it's a relentless, creepy happiness. An unwavering, like some girl who's like, parents died or something, and you're like, why are you so happy? And she's like, shh, he's watching. 2, and this will actually make you beautiful. Be on time. That's the second most important thing. It's true, though. If a woman's like a half hour late, I'm like, you're out of the picture, girly. You ugly whore. This totally has the feeling that, like, some guy who was just slighted was like, you know what? I'm going to add some stuff to the Bible that I want. I don't like it when people are late. My friend's daughter doesn't respect world leaders enough. And God said, don't be so late to the meeting. 3, this is awesome, don't complain. It's true, though. I mean, if you're like, if a woman complains, you're like, ugh. If you're like, hey, what's wrong? And she's like, nothing. And you're like, that's right, and God wills it. Thanks. That was a pretty fun adventure we just went on.
In this house, the decor is the object that's upscale. It's clearly the theory of less is more. A plant of pet books on a shelf and a frame on the wall where you can picture yourself. And you're welcome to stay, but even your company must complement the feng shui. Even down to what I have on, make you wonder to what extent I have gone. Tailor the tape of contours of the curve, demanding the attention that it does deserve. Fabrics for the forecast of the day, I admit it, everything is fitted to fall in feng shui. But more importantly, the way that I move, if I'm in your town, my needle down on the groove. On sight, they know my song, and it ain't
ain't slow and it sure ain't long. You see, I do not play. Forgive me, Father. I was forced out of feng shui. A flow as subtle as a summer breeze. Whispering winds of the talking trees. Too big to be boxed in, it bobs and weaves. It evolves, it solves, it gives and receives. And everything I say is calculated, appropriated, written and arranged in feng shui. Tonight.
himself on beat.
Hey, folks, listen to Radioactive San Diego, the Lying Media Bastard Show. I'm Jake. That was just, there was a Camera Obscura with Books for Girls. Before that, we had The Distillers doing Gypsy Rose Lee. And before that, we had Cinemechanica doing our Cinemechanica. Sometimes I start pronouncing stuff with a Spanish accent, and I'm not sure if I should be or not. For that, Gnarls Barkley doing Feng Shui. We start off a little comedic stylings of Eugene Merman, who I read online that actually his albums come out on the same label that Nirvana's originally did, so take that for what it's worth. Let's see here. I suppose I should mention, May 1st, this coming Monday, Immigrant Strike. The Grand Boycott of 2006, where immigrants and friends of immigrants will be taken to the streets, or if not taken for the streets, at least not taken to their jobs and their schools. It's the whole idea of it is to show the economic power of immigrants in this country by refusing to go to work, refusing to sell anything, refusing to buy anything, refusing to go to school. And all this will show, you know, there is sort of this idea that, you know, all the immigrants ought to go home, which really, because of the sort of, I can't think of the right word, there's sort of a camouflage going on here where people are saying one thing meaning another. A lot of times the immigrants or illegal immigrants means people who look like they're Mexican and they should go home. So I don't know how appropriate this background music is, but no, I think I'm definitely not going. I ain't doing no work on Monday, and I would ask that you all follow suit. Don't go to work. Don't go to school. If you're not going to go to school and you're afraid about getting in trouble, have someone write you a note. I don't think it'd be too rough. Or even if you can't get a note, back in my day anyway, you got like an hour detention. Maybe things have gotten worse these days. I don't know, but suck it up. Let's see here. Oh, a tiny bit of scary news here. Turkey is putting troops on the their border with Iraq. They right now have about 250,000 troops right near the Iraqi border, which is right by where the Kurds live, and the Turks and Kurds don't like each other. The Turks are afraid that the Iraqi Kurds could that their autonomy could lead to the Kurds in Turkey wanting to secede, which they already do. Kind of scary. I hope nothing comes of that. Let's see here. Oh, and since this is the media show, we should talk about the new SaveTheInternet.com, which is comes down to this idea of net neutrality. Now, when you make a phone call to anybody, the phone company has to treat everyone the same, whether it's a business call or a personal call, whether you're calling your mom or your drug dealer or whoever. You know, everybody gets treated the same by the phone company. They can't charge you a different rate based on the type of call you're making. I suppose you could have different calling plans when you start up, but everybody gets treated the same. It's called common carrier, which means that the phone lines that run throughout this country, you're supposed to just treat them as, you know, like pipes that you'd let water travel through, where, you know, nobody would have to pay different amounts for the water they get. Roads, anybody can drive anywhere, whether it's for, no matter what the purpose is. And on the internet, that principle is known as network neutrality, which is the idea that you're supposed to get charged the same. If you're paying for your internet, you're supposed to get charged exactly the same for, you know, no matter what you're doing on the internet. You know, nobody can bill you because you're type extra because you're typing on your blog, or charge you extra because you're using some messenger, or if you're using the net for shopping, or whatever. There's a fee. for using the internet, and you pay it. Now, primarily, AT&T, that's the name that keeps coming up, is trying to get Congress to eliminate network neutrality. They're trying to make it so that if you've got a website, you can pay AT&T a fee to make sure that people can access your site at a good speed. And if you don't pay that fee, then maybe your website doesn't get good such good access. Maybe instead of taking 3 seconds to load your site, AT&T kind of fiddles with the pathways, and it takes 60 seconds. Takes 2 minutes. Whatever. Or maybe they just say, hey, yeah, you can't access that site via our service. If they do that, then, you know, even if it's just slow, you know, if you wanted to go check out, you know, Amazon.com and it takes, you know, 2 minutes to load up the site, you're going to say, fuck this, I'm going to go to BarnesandNoble.com or whatever. But it's just a way of manipulating what you do and how you do it on the internet, which is bullshit. But there's these bills are going through Congress, so SaveTheInternet.com is the website to go to for information about that and to sign petitions and contact your congressman and all that. I've been meaning for weeks to have Paul Riesmandel on the show to interview him. He does the website MediaGeek.org, does the Media Geek radio show, and he's very big on policy and technology. We just couldn't make it work, but I wanted to have him on so that he could explain all this to you in a good, simple way. We couldn't make things work out, so you get me rambling about that. Now, related to that, there's also a new law that's getting looked at. It was just introduced yesterday by Dianne Feinstein and some other guy whose name I forget, to the Senate, which part of the bill would make it illegal for webcasters to stream audio without there being some sort of digital rights management technology. Digital rights management are all these bullshit things which make it harder for you to access the media that you buy, the media you own. It limits what you can do with it. That sort of thing. And includes, I mentioned several months ago, Sony put this DRM, Digital Rights Management System, onto their CDs, that when you put, if you put your CD into your computer, it would install software on your computer that would fuck it up. You know, they acted like it was, oh, it's just security, but it was, and it was their attempt at it, but it had so many, you know, side effects that it was messing up people's computers, and they kept denying they did it, blah, blah, blah. So that's digital rights management for you. Somebody interfering. You've got a CD, and you want to be able to do whatever you want with it. You want to listen to it on your computer, in your car, you want to rip it to MP3, listen on your MP3 player, you want to edit the song, you want to make a little movie on your computer. Digital rights management gets in the way of all that. So this Dianne Feinstein bill would propose that any MP that you would have to, if you're a webcaster, use a streaming system that would have the DRM in it, which means this show that you're listening to now that goes on a simple MP3 stream, we'd have to stop doing that. That would be against the law. And we'd have to switch to something else, some bullshit system, real audio, whatever. And if we're doing that, then it's harder for you to access the show. We've got to pay money to use, the real player, real producer, their software. It costs money, which we don't really have. It would mean we, you know, both you and I would be getting in the way of us using this show the way we want. You know, harder for you. Maybe you can't put it on your MP3 player because it's a real audio format. Maybe I can't do the podcast anymore because we'd have to stream with real player or something. So, it's a lot of nonsense. I've got a link on my site. If you go to lyingmediabastards.com, right now on the right-hand side, and there's a thing called Media News, and you can find a link there to learn more about that law and how to sign petitions against it. So, go to lyingmediabastards.com and look for those links about the MP3 streaming. Go to SaveTheInternet.com to learn about about saving network neutrality so that somebody's not telling you what to do with your own internet. Let's see here. My show is pretty darn close to done. So, put on a few more songs. I'm probably going to play Gnarls Barkley and The Coup, if I can fit them both in there. And, yeah, thanks for listening. I'll be playing more next week. May 1st, don't go to work, don't go to school. I might be here in the studio May 1st, sort of coordinating live updates from people about who are at the protests, who are at the strikes. Might have a few words. Or somebody else from Radioactive will be here. We got to figure it out. So, yeah, so Monday, you can listen to us online, of course, radioactiveradio.org. We're being rebroadcast over the air occasionally, 106.9 FM in San Diego. You can give it a try there just to get the latest updates on what's happening with the Grand Boycott 2006. And, yeah, that's it. I'm playing some music. I will see y'all. Well, I'll talk a tiny bit more before I go.
I could paint a picture with a pen, but a song will only scratch the skin. And there are still places I haven't been, because I know what's in there is already in the air. Oh yeah, there's a storm away. There's a storm away.
Not just the words, some of y'all heads up in the cloud. I'ma bring y'all back to earth. It's black back to burn. Bull
certain shit y'all talking about. Out your mouth, I'm not concerned, cause y'all got to learn. It's y'all turn like Detroit Red, when his head had an ultra perm. The long walk, I burned your bare heels, so throw on your boots. The game camouflage like army suits, but I can see it more clear, cause I came with the coupe in here. Ring the alarm, inform the truth, send them out into the world, go to war on the fluke. Eye to eye with the enemy you sworn to shoot. Now I'm coming at your neck, sick of hearing something wrong with me. Motherfucker, something wrong with you. When the cheek just way too smart to question. The enemy, the brothers of a dark complexion. The governments of the world, the shark infested. They heavy on weaponry like Charlton Heston, man. Look, it gets low, man. Low, now I'm talking about. Get it. My favorite music. Yeah, is a mic on with you. Your logic does not get you. Come on, it's my favorite music.
Death to the pigs is my basic statement. I spit street stories till I taste the pavement. Trying to stay out the pen where we face enslavement. Had a foolproof hustle till they traced the payments. I was gripping my palm around some shitty rum. Trying to find Psalm number 151. To forget what I'm owed as I clutch the Komodo red. Put down the bottle and come get the gun. Let's get off the chain like Kunta Kinte with a Mac-10. That one was gone like a dollar in a crack den. Steadily subtracting seeds and stems. Mind cloudy through the weeds and phlegm. Numbing my brain off of that and the Jesus hymns. If we waiting for the time to fight these is them. Telling us to relax while they ease it in. We're getting greased again. The truth I write is so cold it'll freeze my pen. A boots rider, it's a pleasure to meet you. Never let they punk ass ever defeat you. They got us on the corner wearing pleather and see-through. All y'all's gold mines, they wanna deplete you. I ain't just finna rap on the track. I'm finna clap on the back and it's been stacking it act. 500 years before Iceberg ever leaned back in the lack. Before they told Rosa Black in the back. Before the CIA told Ricky Ross to put crack in the sack. And Gil Scott traded rapping for smack. This beat alone should get platinum plaques. I'd rather see a million of us ecstatic to scrap. Cause if we bapping them back, we automatically stack.
Check it out.
I ain't rocking with you, so what you gonna do?
It's my favorite music.
I ain't rocking with you, your logic does not compute.
My favorite
view, yeah. Mr. Cal like chewing C, rebooting me, activating the community. Up in the bay like Huey P. They suck a free, it remind me of the BK, there's love for me. But the beast, gotta twist it, I'll untangle it. The black mind intertwined like the ropes they used to hang us with. That's my favorite shit, I came in the game with a new way to spit. Got your questionnaire, who you banging with? Take it back to M-Hotep, go a step deeper like a poor righteous teacher with holy intellect. Killer flow for my real niggas left, but inform the family of the jigaboo that's been a death. Once again, you can feel hip hop underground, still about my guap. Gangster like fuck the cops, tell him Kweli, revolutionary MC, and that ain't about to stop.
I ain't rocking with you, so what you gon' do?
It's my favorite music.
I ain't rocking with you, your logic does not compute.
My favorite.
This has been the Lying Media Bastards Radio Show. That is, there was the Coup doing My Favorite Mutiny off their new album, Pick a Bigger Weapon. And before that, we had Gnarls Barkley doing Storm Coming from their as-yet-to-be-released album. There are dogs barking in the background, so I will sign off. From Jake, DJ Luna, Apple, Tofuti, and all the dogs and cats and creatures here at the station, I'm signing out. And I should mention the Silent Hill movie that's out in theaters now. This is my closing theme song. This is the closing theme song of the video game. You see? Maybe you didn't know it was based on a video game. It was, I saw the film. It was had some of the most fucked up stuff I've seen in a movie. But overall, okay. So, don't know if you want to see it. I'm going to keep rambling. Anyhow, I'm out. LimeWeedBastards.com if you want more politics and stuff. Thanks for listening.